Good morning. My name is Arturo, and this is the Morning Meditation Podcast. Today's meditation is called Willy Wonka, part two of the Poetic Movie Review Podcast. This is a great movie. It takes you on a wild ride, and I'm going to take you on even a wilder ride. There's a lot of theories about this movie, about who Willy Wonka is and what's actually going on, how much of a conspiracy is the movie. How much is the symbolism leading you towards something, or is it something dark and sinister? But to me, I see something a little different than that. What I see metaphorically is that Willy Wonka represents God, and I'm going to show through lots of examples here how I think those things line up. So number one, Willy Wonka has a food ministry, a chocolate factory. And there's a parallel there with how God deals with people, because God has a food ministry. He multiplies fish and bread. He feeds a man with ravens, which was Elijah in the Old Testament. In the movie, they enter into the first room where everything is edible. Everything is colorful and everything is tasty. And so Willy invites everybody to go and taste everything and enjoy yourself. The very first thing that God did was place Adam and Eve in a garden. And he said, you may eat from all the trees of the garden save one. And so they were to go and to enjoy themselves and to receive the goodness of the fruit that was in the garden. It was a very plentiful garden. And the Bible also says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So God has a food ministry for us. Another thing that I see that Willy Wonka does is he defies gravity. He produced a thing called a fizzy lifting drink, where if you drink it, you can actually float and defy gravity. Of course, we see that God has done this over and over again. Paul was taken up to the third heaven. Jesus had his ascension where he went up into the clouds. Peter said in a vision, I was taken up. Over and over again, the prophets have said those things. I was taken up in the spirit. I was taken up. And so they were defying gravity. They were able to rise up and see new things. Willy Wonka takes his guests on a wild ride. He puts them in a boat and he gives them visions, and they're going, and it's a crazy thing. Like, as they're going on this boat ride, they're freaking out, and they're seeing things they've never seen before, and they're being scared, and yet the whole time they're safe. And so what is that like? That's like finding your destiny in this world. When you realize what God made you for, who you're supposed to be, and what you're supposed to do, if you really find it, it's bigger than you. It's greater than you. The people who have really embraced what they were born to do in this world, they always say the same thing. Oh, this thing is bigger than me. It's huge and it's scary. At every step of the way, there's fear. And they conquer that fear by taking action. But they all say the same thing. Oh, man, I had no idea how things were going to work out. It was so scary, but I did it. And it turns out, I was safe the whole time, even though they thought they were in danger. That's the wild boat ride that Willy Wonka takes his people on. The Oompa Loompas, they're the servant class of the chocolate factory, and they're all serving the master. God has his own servant class called angels. They're mysterious. They're strange. They show up at his behest. They do his bidding, and they teach lessons, and they have messages for the people. That's what angels do, but that's what the Oompa Loompas do. And they're not like normal people. In the movie, they used little people as the actors, but they also changed the color of their skin, gave them strange hair, different outfits. And their whole purpose for being was to serve the master. And I think that they were supposed to represent something other than human beings. Something else about Willy Wonka is that he's benevolent. He cares about the poor. That's why he created a thing called the Everlasting Gobstopper. He says, you know, not everyone can afford my candies, because there are some people who, when the contest was going on, were buying hundreds and thousands of candies. And when Charlie was asked about how many candies he's had, he said two. And they were in class doing math and everything, and the instructor said, well, I can't do two. You know, I can't do, like, big math problems with the number two. That's too small. Well, there are some people in this world who cannot exactly afford to go out and have lots of things. They can't indulge because of a lack of resources. So Willy Wonka knows this. He keeps this in mind. And not just that, he does something about it. He creates the Everlasting Gobstopper out of a love for children, out of caring for the poor. That's what God does. He cares for widows and orphans. He says that blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Over and over again, he talks about the poor, and he cares about the poor. And he tells the people who have much that they should be giving to those who don't have enough. He, in the Old Testament, provided for the poor through a program where the poor people could go through the fields and pick up what was called gleanings, the leftovers of the harvest. And he told the masters of the fields not to pick up the gleanings. If you drop something, don't pick it up. Leave it there for the poor. He cares about the poor. That is one thing about God that this movie gets right. If you go with my theory, then that's one thing that Willie has that kind of represents what God is, benevolent. There was another podcast where I talked about playing God. That was the title of the episode, and it was about Kristoff from the movie The Truman Show. And the thing about Kristoff is he was trying to play God, and what he was doing was taking control and taking power over a man. But in that podcast I talked about, there was one thing that he was missing, and that was benevolence. Is that he didn't care for the person that he had control over. He didn't care for the person that he was taking on this wild ride. But Willy Wonka gets this part right, is that he does care about the poor. He does care about the needy. He has a heart like God. In this way, of course, Willy Wonka is not exactly like God, because he is a big weirdo. And God's not like that. But another thing about Willy Wonka is that he tests the people. He brings the children in and he tests them. And he puts in front of them their personal temptation. They couldn't resist. Augustus Gloop could not resist the chocolate river. The TV kid couldn't resist getting into the TV laser beam, or whatever it was, the box that shoots you across the room. And it wasn't made for people, it was made for things. But when he was faced with that temptation, he couldn't resist it. All of the children, except for Charlie, could not resist the thing that was their greatest temptation in life, the girl with the gum. She couldn't resist taking the gum and chewing it, even though it was against the rules. Every single one of them broke the rules because their greatest temptation was put in front of them. And Willy Wonka did this on purpose. He put these things in front of them. That's one of the theories, is that he was doing this on purpose, and it was a sinister thing. But to me, I see that if you take this parallel and you say, is Willy Wonka God? You know, great question. Then this is one of the things that lines up, is that God tests us in our lives. And that's going to come up with the final speech, which is the big point of this podcast. But let's keep moving a little bit farther. He meets us at the gate. Now, this is out of order. At the very beginning of the movie, he sends out the golden tickets and he meets the winners at the gate. And this is a thing that gets told over and over again about going to heaven, is that there's the gates of heaven. And we're going to meet God in heaven. And so he's inside and all the people are outside. And interestingly enough, only a few are chosen. And so those chosen few get to come in. But he also says, bring a family member. So he wants you to bring somebody with you. That is the message of the gospel. And it goes even bigger than that in the final speech. So God wants us to share the good news of the kingdom. You know, hey, I've got a golden ticket. Hey, I'm going to this wonderful place. So many things are waiting for me. Come with me. Come on, let's go. That's how the gospel is supposed to work. And the thing about Willy Wonka is that he's a happy character. He sings, he dances, he makes everything colorful. And that's something that we know about God. He says that those who sow in tears are going to reap in joy. He wants us to enjoy things. That's why he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you think about how he made food, he made it colorful and tasty. If you think about all the gifts that he's given us, like family, like how does family come about? Through relationship, because children are made through marriage. And what is marriage? Marriage is a covenant, and it is filled with joy. If you look at the times in the Bible when God talks about joy, he talks about the bridegroom and his joy. He talks about the bride and her joy. And even the mother of Isaac, it was Sarah, Abraham and Sarah. Sarah, when she was told she was going to have a child in her old age, she said, will I have joy in my old age? Joy, which is family, which is relationship. She wanted to know, like, well, is it too late for me or will I have joy? The thing about God is that he gives us these things. He gives us joy because he's sharing who he is. So the final thing, and this, I think, is the thing that really drives it home and shows us that Willy Wonka very possibly could represent God. It's his final speech. God communicates a great message, which is the gospel. Willy Wonka has a final speech that he tells Charlie at the very end. So he's been testing Charlie, and he put the everlasting gobstopper in his hand. And what Willy wanted was for the child to give it back, to not take the temptation and go to Slugworth with it. So when Charlie has the opportunity to turn on him, he comes back, he humbles himself, he brings back the everlasting gobstopper because he doesn't want to ruin what the chocolate factory is and what Willy Wonka has. And he puts the gobstopper back and he says, Mr. Wonka, here. And he just gives it back to him. And that's when we have the big speech from Willy Wonka. And he says a lot of things that I think line up with this theory that I'm presenting here. He says, I knew you would do it. So he wanted Charlie to do the right thing. Charlie did the right thing. And he says, in a dark place, a light will shine. And he desired that the person being tested would do good. His desire was not to destroy the children. His desire was not to test them beyond their ability or beyond their ability to resist. His desire was to bless them. That's what God does. See, he says, I wanted to give you everything. And Charlie misunderstands. He says, oh, the chocolate. You wanted to give me a lifetime supply of chocolate. But Willy says, no. Yes, the chocolate. But more than that, I want to give you the entire factory. I want to give everything to you. But he says, but I had to test you. And he apologizes. He said, I'm sorry I had to put you through it, but I had to test you. And this is what I see from God. One, he knows we're going to make it. You know, why would he put the snake in the garden? Because it was to test the man. And he knew that he was going to redeem man. He knew that his will was good for the people. And so he allows them to be tested. That happens in our lives. Temptations are placed in front of us, not to destroy us, but to test us. And when we are tested, we're supposed to pass the test. We're supposed to choose the good. And that's what Charlie did. So he says, I had to test you, right? He said, I had to put you through it. I'm sorry, but I had to put you through it. The other thing, it had to be a child. He created this program where he put out these tickets and he chose a child. It had to be a child. What does the Bible say? Matthew 18, verse 3. It says, you must become like little children to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It has to be a child. You have to be childlike, right? And so the other thing is that Willie tells him, go ahead and bring your whole family, because he brought his grandpa in. Charlie brings his grandpa with him, and he understands that the rest of his family is waiting at home, and they're all poor. And if he's now receiving the keys to this new kingdom, then he says, what about the rest of my family? And Willie tells him, yes, bring your whole family. And that kind of goes with what I was saying earlier, you know, bring somebody with you. Now bring your entire family, bring everybody with you. Are you going to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Are you going to receive riches beyond your wildest dreams? Are you going to go into paradise? Bring everybody with you. Spread the gospel. Tell everyone about how good it is on the other side, right? The final thing is Slugworth, the enemy. The enemy was present at every ticket. Every time there was a ticket, golden ticket that was won, the enemy was present. What is the enemy? My own theory about the enemy is that he is a voice. And I always have the same saying about the voice, is that it's a suggestive voice. And what does the voice suggest? Always suggests darkness, negative things, selfishness, death. The suggestive voices in our lives always bring temptation and always try to tempt us away from God. But the reality is that the enemy works for God and God controls him. If you look at the garden, the enemy went and did something and then God punished him. And in the book of Job, when the enemy wanted to test Job, he had to ask God for permission. So he's on a chain and he does certain things, but he can't do whatever he wants. He can only do what God allows, which, like I was saying before, is to test us, not beyond our limits, not to harm us, but so that we can learn and grow and become better and choose him. And he tests us to find out if we will choose him, if we love him. He doesn't automatically make us choose him. Then we would be robots. We would not be human. His deal is that he wants us to love him. And so he tests us. That's the big parallel there, is that Willy Wonka says, I wanted to give you everything, but I had to test you. I had to choose a child. Don't worry about the enemy. He works for me. He's under my control. I'm in charge. I'm in charge of everything, the good and the bad. And my desire is to give you everything. And that's what I see as this parallel of Willy Wonka and God, in that he's, you know, he has powers beyond a normal human being. He has understanding beyond a normal human being. But he has a great heart where he's benevolent and loving. And even though he tests people, his desire is that they would pass the test, not that they would fail the test. He has a great and magical kingdom with a servant class and so many wonderful things awaiting us. And Willy Wonka, I think, represents something magical. And I don't think the writer of the book was like this great Christian, or he was trying to make this happen. I think it might be serendipity, in that when they made the movie, certain things lined up like this. And I could be wrong. It's possible that this was all intentional and this is how things were written on purpose. But this is my own theory of the movie. I haven't heard anybody else talk about it, but when I saw it, and especially the final speech, if you just watch that little scene of the final speech, I hear the voice of God speaking. And metaphorically, symbolically, I don't think that God wrote it or anything, but I think it matches up pretty well in my own mind. And that's my poetic movie review of Willy Wonka. This is a morning meditation podcast. Thank you for listening.